Whether in Yemen or elsewhere, anti-government activists and dissidents need to communicate with each other, and in many of the recent Middle East uprisings, they've used Skype to do so. One reason for that is that the internet-based voice and video service is encrypted, and that means that it should be safer from government spies who are eavesdropping. Turns out, though, it's not immune to hacking. Steve Steklow is an investigative reporter with the Wall Street Journal. He writes that in Egypt before the revolution, the government was able to intercept Skype conversations among activists. Steve joins us today through Skype. Can you tell us how the Egyptian government intercepted Skype calls?
Well, the Egyptian government had long been concerned about pro-democracy demonstrators, or as they call them, extremists, using Skype, because it's very difficult to wiretap. In fact, it's impossible using traditional wiretap methods. So they were seeking a way to do that because they knew that many demonstrators there were using Skype. So last year, over a five-month period, government records show, they tested a product made by a British company that allowed them to do it, and it was successful.
And how do we know it was successful? How do we know any of this happened?
After the revolution there, the dissidents staged a raid on the headquarters of the secret police, and they managed to collect files. And the files had a series of memos within departments of the Interior Ministry that talked specifically about their efforts to intercept Skype. And the department that was involved was called the Electronic Penetration Unit.
Well, penetrate, it did. But why is it supposedly, anyway, so hard to intercept Skype calls?
Skype uses a very sophisticated encryption method, and the calls that take place over Skype is from a computer to a computer. The conversation isn't sent to some central server that Skype maintains. So because of that, and because they use a very high level of encryption, the kind of encryption that like banks use for transactions, it's considered pretty secure. In fact, it's still considered probably the most secure way to communicate.
So maybe use the example of our conversation with you right now. From your computer to ours here in the newsroom, how does the encryption work, and then how does the decoding of that encryption work in the case perhaps of like the Egyptian government?
So when we initiate a Skype conversation between our two computers, the Skype software creates a key that's used to do the encryption, and only your computer and my computer have access to it. So what this software that is being sold to governments and what Egypt was testing, it manages to bypass the encryption. It's essentially spyware that infects your computer. It may be something like you're sent an email and told to click on something. It's runs in the background. It's not detectable by traditional antivirus or anti-malware software. And what it does is it intercepts the audio stream after the conversation is decrypted. So as you're listening, it's in effect listening. And as you're speaking, it's recording what you're saying.
There are, of course, government activities that intercept Skype messages in order to crack down on criminal activity.
Yes. Again, it's not just the concern of government, repressive governments trying to crack down on dissidents. Governments in Europe, like in Italy, have expressed alarm by the use of Skype by terrorists and criminal elements. And not just Skype, but similar internet services. There was a similar service that apparently was used in the attacks on Mumbai several years ago. So the Indian government, for example, is very concerned about this. And some governments have tried to get Skype to turn over the encryption keys, but Skype has steadfastly refused.
Thank you very much, Steve Steklow, investigative reporter with the Wall Street Journal. The article he co-authored about hacking Skype is in today's journal. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Lisa.